Rick Edelman is a New York Times bestselling author. He's a financial wizard, and he's a radio show host, among other things. Rick joins Techonomics host Jason Middleton to talk about the truth about your future. That's not just Rick's most recent book title, but it's a common discussion thread on Techonomics. And that story starts now.
Hello there, and thanks for listening. The discussion around an automated workforce is starting to take more shape. More thought leaders, more captains of industry, and more policymakers are taking the idea of a potential 25% unemployment rate pretty seriously. It may sound like the future, but it is literally happening now with a shifting labor force. Economics will shift, both macro and personal. How can we get ahead of the curve? How can we get ready for when 3D printers are everyday home accessories, when people stop aging and we all need a career plan into our 90s? Rick Edelman is recognized as one of the top finance experts in the world, and his new book, The Truth About Your Future, dropped in March. Rick reveals the ways new science and tech will reshape how we live and work in the future. Rick likes to talk about one of our ongoing themes on Techonomics, the rapidly approaching technological jolts that will shake up social norms and create a little chaos while still creating some opportunities. Here's me interviewing a fellow radio show host.
Rick Edelman, financial advisor, Chairman Edelman Financial Services.
And Rick Edelman is one of the top financial advisors in the country, if not the world, and that's according to Forbes and Barron's, and not just because he's on our air here. He also has a weekly nationally syndicated radio show. Rick, thanks for giving us time today.
Happy to be with you.
One of the topics you're covering in a new book coming up, which we are going to dive into, it's called The Truth About Your Future, is the coming wave of automation, especially in the workforce. And that's kind of a recurring theme here on Techonomics as well. So if it's cool, I'm going to give you a pop quiz. And I'd like for you, on your scale, if you could give me, I'm going to give you five jobs, and you could give me highly impacted by automation or lightly impacted by automation. Okay? And then we'll get into the meat on it. Okay, cool. Let's go with truck drivers.
Highly impacted.
Okay.
Gone.
Gone. Okay. What about plumbers?
Plumbers are mildly impacted.
Okay. And I think the last one I'll give you, instead of five, we'll do three because I want to get into the meat of it because I'm starting to get a little bit excited. Computer programmers.
Lightly impacted.
Interesting. Let's start with computer programmers. Why would they be lightly impacted if AI and automation is self-learning more and more?
Well, you're still going to need people who can think and create. And so computer programmers are definitely going to be in need of that. But as you noted, the repetitive nature of their jobs will be taken over by machines. In other words, their jobs will change, but they won't go away completely. Same thing with doctors. Doctors are not going to be doing what they do today in the future, but we're still going to need doctors.
Okay. So they can't learn everything themselves. Okay. Now, you mentioned gone when I said truck drivers, over-the-road, long-haul truckers. How quickly is that going to come?
Oh, probably within 5 years.
Would you say that 5 years for that kind of impact is a little faster than we saw it coming?
Yes, I think that's the most shocking thing about exponential technologies and the basic theme of my book, The Truth About Your Future, that it's, and we all know that flying cars are in our future. It's the speed with which it's coming that is the shocking element. It's going to all happen faster than people realize.
I see. And let's stick with the theme of the book, The Truth About Your Future. It's your newest title. You have several others, more than a million copies in print. What was the impetus for this particular book, though? Is it the fact that this train is coming at us a lot faster through the tunnel?
Yes, and more impactful than anything else we've ever seen in human history. For example, let's go back to the self-flying cars. We all know they're coming, but can you guess when? When do you think we're going to see self-flying cars?
I think we'll see beta testing of it by the end of 2020.
You're going to see them in July.
Wow.
Indonesia and India have both announced that they're introducing commercially self-flying cars this summer. They will carry a person up to 220 pounds, traveling 100 miles an hour for a range of 30 miles.
That's incredible.
They come in July. That's the point, is that this stuff's happening so fast, and most people are not aware of it. And that's why we've got to take a look at our careers to see if our career is going to survive the technological onslaught that we're going to be facing. Because if not, we're going to need to get retrained. And the sooner we figure this out, the better off we're going to be.
Well, you and I both know from covering this space so much over the last, years and years, is that regulation and policy are way behind innovation and technology. So how are we going to get this caught up? I mean, what can we do socially?
that's one of the key issues. The President Trump has assembled a group of technologists, the CEOs of the leading technology companies. He's now convening a group of the leading business leaders as well. He recognizes the importance of paying attention to technology. It's very scary when you have a bureaucrat in Washington or a legislator saying that they're oblivious to technology and they're trying to solve problems the old way. And that's what government is doing, as you've pointed out, because government, by definition, is reactive. They respond to issues. They aren't generally proactive looking ahead. And that's why we've got to change thinking. Everybody has to get on board with the fact these changes are coming. It's futile to resist them. We need to anticipate them and embrace them. That's how we're going to move society forward.
Now, this impactive exponential change in the labor market obviously is a huge part of the overall economy. And one of the ongoing themes also on this show, which I'm so happy is in your swing zone, is UBI. It's Universal Basic Income, which is being tested, I believe, in Toronto and in Finland and a couple of other smaller tests around the world. And that's where citizens just get a monthly stipend, if you will, and then they can do with it what they want. There are no restrictions or policies put around it. Is that an approach that we should be examining, or is that something that is like a little bit more esoteric or academic?
It's inevitable. I mean, I know it's very politically divisive, but it is inevitable. They've been doing it for years in countries in the Mideast. In Kuwait, for example, nobody in Kuwait works. If you're a native of that country, you get a check from the government from its oil revenues. The same thing in Alaska. There's no state income tax in Alaska. Every state resident in Alaska gets a check from the government from the oil revenues that Alaska generates. So we're going to see this more and more. In Germany, they have proposed legislation that would require companies that introduce robots to pay a payroll tax on every robot they install, on the theory that that robot cost a job. They still have to pay the pensions to the humans, so if the companies are going to make as much money with robots as they used to make with humans, use those profits to pay payroll taxes, to go into a pension plan, to pay the people who used to work. That's a form of UBI.
I'm going to take a little bit of a right turn here since you are a leading financial advisor, and let's look at the impacts of some of the things we just discussed in the last 5 minutes and how Wall Street looks at that, because often Wall Street does not have the same opinion as Main Street, and let's say almost always. How are Wall Street firms accepting or not accepting this coming exponential change in technology?
Two ways. One, much of Wall Street is rather oblivious to this subject. That's why I've helped to create with Singularity University an expo called Expo Finance, a 2.5-day session just for Wall Street executives to bring them up to speed. But having said that, investors on Wall Street are thrilled with this, and they are investing billions and billions of dollars in all forms of exponential technologies, nanotechnology, big data, robotics, artificial intelligence, machine learning. The list goes on and on and on, bioinformatics and so on, to recognize the incredible economic opportunities that are coming, much of it in the financial services sector, the blockchain, for example, payments, online services that are going to revolutionize how we do business. Wall Street recognizes the tremendous investment opportunities, but there's a really big caveat. We have to make sure that we are investing in companies designed for the 21st century, not investing in companies based on the 20th. In other words, many of the biggest companies in America will not exist in 10 years. They will be replaced by brand new companies that are coming out of nowhere. And so your portfolio has to be designed to take advantage of that.
You know, Tesla, I think when you mentioned all of the hype around certain companies that are prepping for the 21st century, I think one out there on the tip of people's tongues is Tesla, whether it's true or not. It's out there as a 2-inch headline.
Absolutely right. And it's a good illustration. It now has a market value higher than General Motors. Came out of, you know, and they're making 50,000 cars a year, and they didn't exist 10 years ago. Look at Instagram. Instagram was sold for $1 billion in 2012, only 18 months old, 13 employees. The year they did that, Kodak went broke, a 135-year-old company gone because nobody's buying film anymore. We're using digital photography, and that's the point. Take a look at Pizza Hut and Domino's. Nobody would consider pizza to be a high-tech product, and yet half of their sales are being delivered digitally. People are buying pizza with their smartphone. You can now use a Ford Fiesta to buy your pizza directly from Pizza Hut. And here's the thing, using GPS technology, they track where you are so that when you arrive home, the pizza gets there at the same moment.
Tell me about the audience for The Truth About Your Future. Who would you say should be picking up this book right now?
It's designed equally for folks in their 20s and 30s who are young in their careers trying to figure out how to remain viable in the marketplace, as well as people in their 60s, 50s and 60s looking at retirement to recognize, is your job safe and how do you handle estate planning, for example? We now have digital assets. You've got photographs online, banking and investments are online. If you die, who gets those assets because they're all password protected? So the broad gamut of technology is affecting everybody no matter your age. If you're in college, what is studying? If you're nearing retirement, how do you generate income for the future? So The Truth About Money, my first book, is now being supplemented by the new book, The Truth About Your Future. It's already a New York Times bestseller because it appeals to a wide variety of the audience.
Well, Rick, I have so much more I'd like to discuss with you, but unfortunately I'm out of time. I'm hoping we can have you back sometime soon.
I would love it.
That was Rick Edelman. Rick is recognized as one of the top finance experts in the world. And his new book, The Truth About Your Future, dropped in March. He's also a finance expert with a radio show on this very station. Rick likes to think about the future and prepare for it now. He's leading by example. You can check out a link to his book at kgoradio.com/techonomics. Just look at the article that accompanies this show. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.